All right, guys, it's that time to get us up in the ring with the greatest faction in podcast history, Jazz Freak Wrestling, the JFW podcast, hosted by Travesty.
And I am Nubby, the Amazing Turtle.
Nubby, you doing good?
I'm doing fabulous. Yeah. Fabulous.
Yeah.
That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. How's the lower back? Big big bump on Saturday.
Yeah, kind of. I went up in the air, came down really hard. Yeah, you know it does hurt without the show. I'm not gonna lie.
Who would have thought, guys? We got a lot of wrestling to cover, especially a big moment from this past weekend, SCW Hollow Mania, Esteem Hollow. That, well, foreshadowing. I got booed by a bunch of midgets, so that's a thing.
The Wildcats.
Yeah, the Wildcats. Yeah, like the Wicked Witch of the West, just walking through Munchkin Land, being hated for everything. And we'll talk more about that. Obviously, that's one of the more important parts of the SCW show. But we'll talk about that. Nubby's got some results. We're gonna start out with talking about Extreme Rules because a lot of amazing things happened at that pay per view. But before we do, I just want to remind you that this episode is brought to you by CarterComics.com. Make sure you check out CarterComics.com for all your comic needs, whether it be graded or raw. Carter Comics is the place to go. Fill your cart up with all their amazing products. Use the discount code FREAKNET, that's FREAKNET. You'll save 10% on your entire order on their online store. Or if you're a big fan of eBay, go to their eBay accounts, which are listed on their homepage, and you can actually use the discount code at their eBay sites as well. Again, that's FREAKNET, FREAKNET. 10% saves you on all purchases through CarterComics.com. All right, Nubby. The Extreme Rules happened this past weekend. First and foremost, I won. So I will take a victory on this pay-per-view. Almost a clean sweep. I was wrong by one match.
Which one was that again?
It was the ladder match. The Bayley-Bianca one.
Ah, okay.
You know, and it's hard to really depict or determine which match was my favorite for the pay-per-view because they're all actually pretty cool. And it was weird because, usually, like, I'm not a big fan of, like, the Extreme Rules pay-per-views because some of the matches aren't really that great. But for some reason, I got into every single one that they had at this pay-per-view. And every finish seemed to be, like, it pulled you in. The first match, obviously, was that triple threat Donnybrook match. We had the Brutes taking on Imperium and everything. Obviously, a lot of that was built up between Sheamus and, I want to say, Walter Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. That was a pretty good match. Definitely hard-hitting. Obviously, the Brutes came up victorious. Let me see. I got to pull my information. I wish I knew what was on my computer that constantly beeped. I just don't know what it is. I need a tech guy to look at my shit. You know, I bet it could be this. It could be this. Whatever. Anyways. Ronda Rousey took on Liv Morgan. Ronda Rousey picked up the win. Technically, Liv Morgan didn't submit. She just passed the fuck out.
Yeah, well, a pass out is just as good as a submission.
Right.
It's a knockout, so.
It shows toughness, though. You know, she
right,
did not.
Right.
You know, and I don't want to compare it, but I'm going to compare it to Steve Austin and Bret Hart.
Steve Austin never tapped.
He passed out.
That's right. There's no blood.
Liv passing out with a smile on her face, creepy as fuck. I know for a
very
fact,
creepy, but I think I enjoyed it at the same time. Maybe that's just creepy.
Karrion Kross picked up the win over Drew McIntyre. Obviously, Scarlett interfered in the match, which I think is fine, like, in the aspect of, like, because obviously you don't want Drew McIntyre to lose any momentum or anything that he has. So to have Scarlett cheat to give Karrion Kross the win doesn't harm her. It doesn't harm either guy.
Right.
Bianca Belair picked up the victory against Bayley.
That was crazy. That was a crazy match. My only thing is, I think I'm starting to hate it more. The multiple ladders in the ring. I'm really starting to hate that more and more.
Well, I think that happened more often ever since the tag team ladder matches, that 3D and the Hardy Boys, because before that was like, what, one ladder?
Right.
And now you got like 8 or 10 of them around the ring.
That was more TLC, but I mean, whatever. I just still don't like it as much anymore.
Finn Balor picked up the win against Edge. That finish happened exactly like I said it would, so kudos to me. And Matt Riddle picked up the win against Seth Rollins in the Five Pit match. You said you had some comments and stuff about this pay-per-view, so let me hear them.
You know, I didn't watch, like, the pay-per-view as, like, a show. I just saw highlights. But
sound like you did. Don't tell people that.
Of course you watched
the whole show. Funny story. No, you watched the entire pay-per-view.
No, in 20 minutes.
That's just it. You watched the whole thing, start to finish.
Good for you. overall, great pay-per-view. I just wrote down a couple things. Like I said, I don't like the multiple match ladders anymore. Maybe it's good for the tag team ones, but singles matches, I don't know anymore. I think you have to go with the formula that Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels had. It didn't need to be all that crazy. I mean, use a chair, use a table, use something other than multiple ladders and breaking them. Stop it. Oh, that's all I got for that.
and the thing is, like, Bianca Belair and Bayley are capable of having a great match, like just a regular singles match. So I agree with you when you talk about the multiple ladders, because I think it takes away from what they are capable of doing just wrestling wise.
Right.
When you're trying to do suplexes and body slams and stuff on ladders and everything, obviously you're trying to be careful, and you can see that in the matches, like. A normal suplex, they'll just slam them, but, you know, when you get the ladder involved, it's more kind of just, like, putting them down and shit. There was that one spot in the corner that Bianca was going to give both Dakota Kai and Io Sky her finisher, and that was kind of goofed. I mean, I think they saved it for the most part, but obviously that was a little of a mess up. But outside of that spot, I mean, I think this match was pretty flawless. Except for the fact that the multiple ladders really took away from what they're capable of doing in a wrestling match.
Definitely. Other thing was, I was kind of shocked to see Riddle in the main event. That was the main event, right?
Yeah.
Him and Seth? Yeah. That was kind of shocking, weird. But you know what? It looked like a brutal-ass match from the short amount of time I saw. I'm actually happy Riddle won that match. It's his match, so. But it's interesting to see where it's going to go from here. So.
Yeah, for that to be the main event was kind of weird, because I would think the Finn Balor Edge match would be weird. And Finn Balor and Edge, I mean, that match was the longest match of the night. You know, we're looking at 30 minutes of them went together. The next one to that was the triple threat, or the six-man tag, which was 18 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that was the second-longest match compared to their 29-minute match. So, I don't know, because obviously you said you watched the highlights and everything, but you saw I don't know what the hell he calls it, that body splash thing from the top of the pit.
Yeah.
I honestly thought that he fucking busted his tail
when
he did that. Because, I mean, obviously he landed on Seth, but he slid down. It looked so fucking brutal. But they were able to tell a story with the fucking cage. I mean, you saw Riddle using it like they would, like, an MMA or UFC ring where he kind of leaps off of it and kicks Seth. You saw him wrestling on top. You saw the pedigree and RKO. And good for Daniel. I think it's Comir, whatever it is. He did a great job as a referee for that match. He told both guys, "You're not going to push me around." He's very, very determined. Obviously, when they're laying up up top, he didn't make the count because they had to be inside the ring. There were just a couple moments where, when Riddle got got curb stomped, that he kind of checked him instead of counting him out and everything. But that was a really good pay per view. It wasn't main event worthy, but out of these six matches, I think the Balor Edge match should have been the main event.
Right.
And that ending to that match, absolutely incredible, because it told more of a story than anything with Beth being involved. And it makes me believe, again, because I know we mentioned it, and I don't know if it's been out there yet. I haven't checked, and I should. They are doing the War Games at Survivor Series. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if they were to do like a Judgment Day versus like an Edge, AJ Styles, Rey Mysterio, Beth Phoenix kind of match. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how they would do it with like both men and women in it, but I mean, I'm sure they can figure out a way to do it, and it would be a pretty good way to kind of, incorporate into that story. And there's actually, I don't know if you saw that or not, but there's actually speculation about the Good Brothers coming back to WWE.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. There's speculation about it.
Yeah. See, that's interesting too, because they could go more Judgment Day way.
Right.
They have history with Finn Balor just as much as they do with AJ Styles.
Mm-hmm.
So, what about Cross and McIntyre?
That was a brutal match. Scarlett being involved, like you said, it made a lot of sense, and it's good storytelling right there. It's all I really have for that. It was just brutal. Enjoyed what I saw. So,
gotcha. Six man tag. Any final thoughts on that one?
Another brutal match. I when I saw Sheamus's chest, I'm like, oh shit!
Right.
Brings me back.
Yeah. All in all, it was a great pay-per-view. I think the next pay-per-view for them is Halloween Havoc. I think the NXT Halloween Havoc, which is October 22nd. And we'll continue on through our predictions and stuff at that point. Currently, there's only four matches right now posted, but I'm sure they'll add more as we go on. And then, obviously, following that is Crown Jewel. And then Survivor Series War Games, which... Right now they do have a men's war games and a women's war games, but no one is mentioned for them. So,
I can't believe what I actually get to ask this question.
Yeah,
where does Bray Wyatt fit in all this?
Oh yeah, that's true. We almost forgot about talking about Bray Wyatt. A lot of people are speculating that these characters are like different people that are going to be part of a faction. As of right now, my honest opinion about it is, they were just gimmick characters. I don't think they're going to play any real part in it. Not like, they probably would, logically. But I don't think he needs it. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be a Raw guy, if he's going to be a SmackDown guy. I don't know where they plan on putting him as far as, is he going to shoot to the main the main event? And, is he going to be a guy for Roman Reigns? I don't know. And that's what worries me more about him being back. Who do you put up against him? You can't do him and Braun Strowman again. That'd just be pointless. You're just repeating. So, I guess you'd have to do Roman. But at the same time, I don't think I have enough information to even realize, what kind of gimmick Bray Wyatt is. Because all the indications that were going around that he was, the Funhouse Bray Wyatt. But we saw that all torn up and, in shambles. We saw the Fiend in the in the audience when he returned. So is he just like the original Bray now because he came out with the lantern and said, "I'm here," blew it out like he used to? I think until it decides what kind of character he truly is, I don't know if he's going to go straight back to the main event. Is he going to take on? He has people to take on. But how do you move him back into a story?
Right.
I mean, it'll be interesting. Maybe showing all of his characters is a way to say goodbye to it, and he's going to come with something new, or see, he's just up the ante a little bit on the original character.
Yeah. See, I can see that being more likely. Is that I think it's just them, like, showing them as real people, but not really, like, you know, it's not part of a group. I don't see anyone wrestling in a bunny costume or, you know, all that shit. Now, there has been rumors on who's what. Sister Abigail, you know, has been mentioned, could be Liv Morgan. The Rabbit, I can't remember how it's like. I think the Fiend was Bo Dallas. The Vulture was the guy from NXT. I can't remember his name. The Pig was Joe Gacy from NXT. So people are always speculating who is what. But who the fuck is it? I think the Bunny might have been Dex and Loomis. There's speculations out there. Everyone has their theories. I'm sure we'll have ours as we go through on who we think it is. But for right now, I don't think it's anything. I don't think it's really a faction of people. I mean, Raw's going on right now. Maybe The Fiend will show up. Maybe Bray Wyatt will show up. I don't know if you have it on your TV right now watching it.
Yeah, I got it on.
Oh, I'm going to assume that in the 21 minutes it's been on, Bray Wyatt hasn't shown up yet.
No, he just had the Bloodline. Looks like they were kind of jaw-jacking a little bit to each other.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It's the season premiere.
Yeah.
Bloodline there. I think DX is making their return there. I'm guessing there's not going to be a Billy Gunn there, but...
You never know.
Yeah. They haven't been at the Hall of Fame. You'll see why.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't know anything else that's going on as far as mainstream wrestling. I know there was an altercation between Andrade and Sammy Guevara that looked like Andrade got sent home after a backstage altercation with Guevara. Guevara went on to win the main event the same night.
Yeah.
A lot of backstage frustrations happening in AEW, and a lot of this seems to be happening between the AEW originals and former WWE guys who are going there.
Yep. I mean, they think that their spot's being probably taken up, or I think, see, this is the problem. Like, they don't want to work together.
Yeah.
Just work the fuck together. But what they do need to do, for sure, is not have, like, Kenny Omega or the Young Bucks in charge of anything.
Yeah.
What you need is William Regal. You need Sting, Arn Anderson. You need those guys to run the shit. Yeah. Put them in charge because they will make sure the backstage bullshit doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, no, and I agree 100%. It's, I mean, because they came from that WCW era when they saw the WWE guys coming in, WWF guys coming in. Mm-hmm. You know, that early, mid-fucking 90s and shit when Scott Hall and Hulk Hogan and Macho Man and Kevin Nash and all those guys started rolling in. And they saw the mistakes that were made. They could correct that shit.
Yep.
You know, and I know people don't want to believe it, but AEW right now is no different than, or Tony Khan in AEW right now is no different than Eric Bischoff in WCW. They had guys, they needed bigger guys, more well-known guys, so they got more well-known fucking guys. Hulk Hogan, Chris Jericho. You know, we got Macho Man Randy Savage, Jon Moxley. It's just how it is. The Outsiders, you got fucking CM Punk, FTR, Andrade. I mean, there's so many former WWE guys who are there because they needed those names in order to make AEW relevant. For the guys who came from New Japan that weren't well known in the area, or the Ring of Honor guys who aren't well known to, you know, people who watch televised wrestling compared to people who kind of dig into the internet to find these people.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not a bad thing. It's in a way kind of goofy, but it's not a bad fucking thing to get, you know, notoriety, gain people who have a good name to draw people in. But at the same time, you got to find that blend and working. I mean, it's the same thing that happened with Impact when Hulk Hogan came. Scott Steiner, Booker T, Kevin Nash, all those guys. Sting, Kurt Angle. They all started taking the place of AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, America's Most Wanted, Team Canada, all that shit. It happens everywhere. It never happens in WWE because they've been around long enough where they didn't have to do that, but they got to learn from those mistakes and utilize everywhere. They got four different fucking shows at AEW, and somehow they still can't showcase their entire roster. That's a problem.
Yeah, definitely. A huge problem.
Yeah. That's all I got for televised wrestling. I know we have a lot of indie wrestling, and I know you want to talk to me about some SCW stuff, so we're going to main event SCW like we always do. Let's, let's recap the other shit. Let's get into some Tit Talk.
All right. Tit Talk, and just so the people listening that get offended easily, very, very easy, Tit Talk is Turtle Independent
Talk.
Talk.
Yeah, it's so, Turtle, it's Turtle Independent Talk Talk.
Yeah, that too. Well, it's actually what it is, Turtle Independent Wrestling Talk, but the W is silent.
Do you want to go with Turtle Independent Wrestling Discussion? Turd?
No, that's okay. I'm good.
Sure?
I get called turd as it is, so we're going to stick with the tit, because tit is just better.
Always better. Just one, though.
Well, whatever. All right. So what can I go with? You know what? Let's go with this Dreamwave that happened this past Saturday. Let me pull that up real quick. This is one of the ones I didn't write down. Where are you? Thank you, Gorilla Position Chat, for giving me my information.
Is there any poll results for this week?
No.
All right, well, fun fact, I don't know if you saw it or not, but Acid is booked for POW.
I saw that, and that's in December, so I'm booked anyway.
At first, I was bummed, because I was like, oh, man, he's going to be at Wrestle Rage, I'm going to miss it, but it's not. It's the December show. I'm like, I may make the hike up to see that. You already booked for that night?
Yeah, I believe it's the same as Rocket Pro.
Good for you, man. Look at you. Fuck yeah.
But that's if I don't get, you know, fired or suspended or beat up in November.
Why would you get fired? You want to talk to my buddy Saint?
That's going to be the reason why I get fired, because of Damian Saint. Good
fucking dude, man.
Yeah, okay.
He had my back when you didn't, you monster.
He's trying to get you on his side. All right.
I know he's listening right now, so shout out to Rocket Pro General Manager Damian Saint. Keep doing you, bud. Keep crushing it. Don't listen to what these people are saying. If Steve doesn't have a chair to sit in, that's just because you're crushing ticket sales. Don't listen to him.
I'm the one that's crushing ticket sales.
Also, Turtle. Maybe you should give Turtle a title shot. I'm just saying.
I'm getting a title shot.
You should give him another title shot. Title shots for everybody.
Two title shots in one night. I'll take care of that.
Why the hell not? Right? You can wrestle twice in one night.
That's right.
If you had a choice, real quick, if you had a choice, would you rather wrestle two individual matches for two different titles or wrestle one triple threat match against two champions for the opportunity to win both belts?
Well, that's a tough call, because if I can pin one guy for both belts,
right?
I get one. And right. I was in a fatal way. Came close. I have to sleep on that one.
Right. You got to do some Steiner math, man. If you're in a triple threat match, you only have one in a third chance of winning. But if you're in a singles match, you got two 50% chance winning, which means you got 100% chance to win or 100% chance to lose if you put both of them together.
You and your math.
You ponder that and you get back to me because I'm curious.
I will.
All right, anyway. All right, Dreamwave.
We got Dreamwave. I'm going to go through these results as quick as possible. They're a little bit out of sort because they're in a chat room. I did not get them off the page. So they're a little all over the place, but I'll do my best. Connor Hopkins beat Alex Rico. Alright. Lince Dorado, I believe he defeated Fugo del Sol. I know I passed it up.
Are those AEW guys?
No. They were actually in WWE.
Lince Dorado sounds right. Oh, were they part of the Lucha House Party or whatever?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay, cool. I was going to say, like, Lince Dorado sounds really familiar, but yeah, okay, yeah, they okay.
I think that was the result. He doesn't have the result here. He just talked about it, but it says, he says that the crowd was really into this match.
Uh-huh.
So, Marche Rocket squashed Aaron Xavier.
I don't know, man. I heard that Aaron Xavier had like 98% of that match on his side.
Maybe, but this is, hey, I'm just going off what I'm reading. Marche Rocket won the match, and according to Nick Swink, now Nick Swink would not lie, he is a professor of pro wrestling, so.
Nick Swink?
Nick Swink. Or
Nick
Swink. Yeah, Nick Swinky. The Swink.
Nick Swinky.
Yes.
So Nick Swinky.
Yes.
All right, for the listeners out there, if you know a Nick Swinky, I need you to validate his expertise in wrestling. Because I need to know if Aaron Xavier really was squashed in this match, because I already held his own for 98% of the match.
Well, I'll say this. Nick Swinky, the Swink, was front row of the show. So he was there. He saw it.
I know, but realistically, man, that doesn't really mean much. I can sit here right now and say I made the best call I could for SCW, and a lot of people would disagree.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of toddlers in football gear.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Zeke Zishi, whatever how the fuck you say it, beat Hornswoggle and then ended up having a second match against Luigi Primo, the pizza guy. And Luigi beat him. Lance Archer defeated Griff Garrison. Special announcement, December 10th is the next Dreamway show, and the special guest is Raven.
Which is pretty cool. I haven't seen Raven, and I probably Impact TNA days probably like maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So I do respect them for using a 97 WCW photo, though.
It's true.
But I want to make a Dreamwave show, and I think this will be the one I would kind of love to see. Just cause I was always a huge fan of Raven. I liked the Flock. I liked Raven. His promos were fucking phenomenal. Didn't see a lot of him in ECW because ECW was a little bit before my time. But yeah, that's pretty cool that they're getting these guys in there and shit. So.
Yeah. Let's see, 12 gauge. And Hunter Holdcraft defeated the Four Star Heroes, which is Matt Nix and Chris Castro. Brubaker defeated Bucky Collins. Christian Rose defeated Davey Richards by submission. Holy shit on that. Blair Onyx defeated Jay Blackwell, I believe his name. It was listed as Blackwood, but that ended up being not right. Let's see. Hartenbauer defeated Jay Fowler in the main event. There was more notes to this. But for those notes and extra stuff, just go to Dreamwave's Facebook page. I'm not going to get it all to that because I'll have to go back and forth with this shit. Yeah.
Just a reminder, who is the current Dreamwave champion?
As far as we know, unless they stripped him, it's Vic Capri.
Gotcha.
But I don't think they stripped him.
That's right, he got injured, right?
Yeah, he had a concussion, he was going to be out for like 4 months.
Gotcha.
Well, yeah, for more information on the happenings from Dreamwave, just go to their Facebook page, Dreamwave Wrestling. On Facebook, next show is December 10th with special guest Raven. Any more to touch on Dreamwave, Mr. Travis?
No. Dreamwave has a lot of guys that I have never seen outside of actually the televised stuff. Hartenbauer, I think I pronounced it right, Hartenbauer?
Yeah, Hartenbauer.
He's one of those guys that I have heard countless times needs to be seen in person and watch wrestle. Vic Capri, I've never seen in person. I guess a lot of these guys are like, what, more like CSW guys?
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. So I need to make out to a Dreamwish show. I heard this one was outside, and they kind of start like mid-afternoon and stuff like that, which is also pretty cool to check out. So I'm going to make it a point, at least maybe the next one. I'll try to get out there and see it. It's just a drive, obviously, but being that this is a wrestling podcast, I need to make a point to go out and see these shows. I got to do more of a due diligence to it, and I'm going to do better.
We're like the opposites. I'm supposed to be watching the wrestling on TV, and you're supposed to be going to the shows. See, we have the same problem, but opposite sides of the spectrum. So they are going to be inside at their building in December, obviously, because it's going to be colder than a wet monkey's nose.
Monkey's nose. What?
I don't know. Wet dog's nose, something like that.
Very, very stepdad of you there, bro. And a wet monkey's nose. God, you're beautiful. You're fucking beautiful. That's awesome.
They have a 3 o'clock start time that day as well. I think this is what's going to happen going forward, is they're going to start in the afternoon. So with all these shows going on, they probably want people to go to their shows, and then they can go wherever they want to go.
Which is smart, because I think even IPW, granted their stuff is on Sunday, but they start like, what, 1 in the afternoon?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, it gives you guys time to go out, enjoy the wrestling on a Sunday afternoon, and still get home and get ready for work on Monday. It's not like a late show where you get home at 10, 11 o'clock at night on a Sunday night. I think it's fucking genius. Fuck yeah.
I mean, with during football.
If I ever open a promotion, I'm going to have Saturday morning fucking wrestling. Our show's going to start at 6 a.m.
Oh, God. I don't even get up that early. God damn it.
You're going to have to look for that belt. If you want to get that strap, you want to be that JFW heavyweight champion, you got to get up.
I'm going to go a little bit out of my ordinary. Before we get to the next two shows of results, I'm going to talk about this upcoming show for Wrestle League real quick. I wasn't given many matches, but enough to get your mind to go, ooh, I should go. All right, so Wrestle League, formerly known as Just Pro Wrestling from years ago. They're based out of Chicago. They're making their debut at the Homewood Auditorium, 2010 Chestnut Road in Homewood, Illinois. Doors open 6 p.m. Bell time is 7 p.m. Tickets are $15. And there's a family package for $50.
What's the name of this company?
Wrestle League.
And it's formerly known as what?
Just Pro Wrestling.
Just Pro Wrestling, gotcha.
Yeah. So, one of the matches signed is 1000 HP versus the Bro Brothers. I still can't say that word right, but that's okay. But I know these. Bro Brothers.
Spell it.
BREAUX.
Yeah, I guess that's bro.
Bro Bros. They're Bro Bros.
Catchy.
Yeah. So, again, they're taking on 1000 HP. I don't know them individually, so if you want more information, go to Wrestle League LLC on Facebook. Next match is Motivation Mike versus Kid Lat. Okay. Kid Lat. K-I-D-L-A-T. Now, keep in mind, these are guys I have not seen. Actually, I've seen Motivation Mike Russell before. Kid Lat, I have not seen. These are a lot of students from their school.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of up-and-comers. So, and I'll say this, a lot of guys have come from that company, even when it was just pro wrestling, and they're off doing good things. So, This should be a great matchup. They got good trainers.
Oh, they got a pretty sweet poster.
Yeah. Shaq Jordan will be taking on Jesus Desafio. Yeah, there you go. You say it better than I can. I'm glad you caught on to that page. And then another match. There's an open challenge. The Wrestle League champion Ewok has an open challenge. He's always got these open challenges. Maybe I should go.
Hell yeah, man. Turtle power.
I do owe him a receipt or two. All right. That's Wrestle League. For more information, again, it's Wrestle League LLC on Facebook. Anything to add?
I don't know. I'm looking at this promo that the, I wish I could pronounce these, the Bro Brothers or whatever, I don't know. They fucking look cool. They look like hippies, man.
Yeah, they're really cool, too. They were the ones with that ordered a pizza during a match, apparently.
Well, I think they're high, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. All right. So, next on the agenda, we'll go with Chicagoland Championship Wrestling. They just had a show this past Sunday. Oh, a lot of matches that they had. This been their return show from all the COVID stuff. They had to cancel a couple times because Michigan City had tighter restrictions compared to the rest of Indiana. But I guess it makes sense because they were closer to Michigan anyway. So, Maximus McClain. Something like that, defeated Riley Rose for the Canadian national title. Outrunners defeated Youth Gone Wild. Chip Walker defeated Russell TD, Russell All-Star, Russell All-Time, whatever the fuck he wants to call himself today. He can go fuck his Packer-loving ass away. He's a Packers fan. Fuck him.
So aggressive.
And a LeBron James fan, too.
What? Monster.
Monster. So, yeah. Chip Walker defeated Russell TD. Bro Brothers defeated the Sin City Playboys. Nelson Edward Robert Doolittle challenged Jay Cross. Jay Cross destroyed him. That's all you need to know. Jay Cross destroyed him.
Did he, though?
It's Jay fucking Cross. I mean.
The same. Did he know?
Probably. See, I'm going off of Steve Arn's notes now. And not the whole paragraph.
We know he's always honest.
Yeah. Ewok defeated Jackson Stampede Larkin. Another one with more than one name, apparently. And I thought I was bad. Damian Tyler then attacked Ewok after the match, so we got some future happenings there. Steve Michaels defeated Marche Rocket with help from the Chicago Connection. Remember the Chicago Connection, don't you?
Vaguely.
P.L. Myers.
So I've heard of them, but I've never had an opportunity to see them. Independent wrestling outside of Southland Championship Wrestling, ARW, it's really eluded me just because, first of all, here's the thing, though. I would love to travel and see most of these shows. The problem is I don't like going to shows by myself. It's boring. So if I had companionship, which you have mentioned on numerous occasions that I do not, I could probably go to these more.
I mentioned that once.
Because I'm a single, lonely, live-by-myself guy.
All I said was you were single. I didn't say anything about lonely.
Oh, that's right. It's just only two people have mentioned that before in social media, and that's you and the other guy.
Hey, I'm going by the facts.
Damien Saint stood up for me.
And Satan. Fuck that guy. He was a referee for this show too.
But he was fair and honest.
Yeah, my ass. let me tell you about the connection. So Steve, Power Hour Steve, mm-hmm. apparently is number 23 in the Chicago Connection. And he kisses his ass more than one occasion. But where were they when he got stuffed in the fucking trunk of a car and tossed into his wife's plants?
True. Yeah. That's okay. So I remember hearing because, was it that's, oh God, I know I'm going to say her name wrong again because I was here. Celine Gray? She had something to do with that, right?
No. She had nothing to do with it.
She had nothing to do with the Chicago Connection?
She was around in PCW when the Connection was a big thing, but she wasn't part of the Connection. Renee Van Peebles was part of the Connection at that time.
Okay. I'm trying to remember the context in which the it was brought up. I just wish I remember. I don't. Oh, my God. Okay. I know. Never mind. I can't think of it. Maybe Steve can remind me after he listens to this show and corrects me. I just could have sworn. I remember him mentioning Chicago Connection. I can't remember if something that Celine was a part of, or I'm just mixing those two up, or maybe he was talking about me. I don't know. Yeah. A phone call to somebody or some shit. I can't remember.
You're mixing everything up, I think. Just, well, anyway.
There's so much information out there.
Yeah. So, Hot Rod Daddy Andy... helped advertise a sponsor called Liquid Death. I guess it's a drink. Only to be jumped by a faction brutality.
Isn't Liquid Death just water?
I think it's water with a kick. I don't know.
I thought Liquid Death was like that water that like you like sign your like soul away for like a case of it.
Probably. I didn't really catch the advertisement. But yeah, Hot Rod Danny Andy was the sponsor, or, you know, not advertising the sponsor, and got jumped by brutality. And apparently they're so evil that even the fans were creeped out. So that's something to look forward to. Sonny Zaya, I'm gonna butcher this fucking name. Sonny Z-H-A-I. It's a, I think he's from Japan. He defeated Garrison Creed. CCW champion Chris Logan defeated Eric Dillinger. And then Paragon defeated Yuya Umara. Rolling up, pulled the tights to get the win. But then Yuya beat the crap out of him after. At some point during the show, I don't know if it was after, Joey Roth, who was doing commentary with Steve, ended up turning his back on him, I guess pushed him in the face and walked out. I mean, we kind of saw that coming because after what happened at Rocket Pro, you kind of see things happening like that.
Yeah.
So that's the end of Chicagoland Championship Wrestling. I do not know when their next show is. So go to Chicagoland Championship Wrestling on Facebook for more information. And I do apologize ahead of time if the results sounded kind of blah and the names got butchered, but I'm being given what I'm given. Thank you, Power Hour Steve. Love you, though. Let's go to ARW now. ARW Harvest Moon. I'm not sure at what point this happened, but, there has been a power struggle between Mark White and Joey Boom Boom. There's a group called Judas. They attack Joey at some point. I'm going to assume if I watch the promo right, but it is out there on ARW. It's going to be Mark White versus Joey Boom Boom finally in November for control of our ARW. Let's see. Match one. Excalibur defeated Wade Evans in a special challenge match. Thank you, Excalibur. Death Wish, Quinn Widdock and Joey Dalton defeated Muggsy James and Hot Rod Daddy Andy in this tag team tournament. They move on. What was supposed to be JPH versus Braun the Lumberjack. Braun ended up, I guess in a way he wanted to focus on Ivan's last match. So yeah. He had somebody ready to take on JPH, and I guess it would be a potential recruitment in a way. So Jay City ended up facing JPH, but before that, in the middle of Braun talking, JPH jumped him from behind. Then Jay City came in for the save, but JPH ended up winning the match. BLW defeated Lennox.
Just to clarify, you're talking about recruitment for the family.
Yes, my bad. They are recruiting for family members since Ivan is leaving.
Gotcha. Cool. For my own verification, I just want to double check.
And I guess they might as well get another one in there since Cheeks retired as well.
Yeah. And really cool of Ivan to kind of throw that in there as well. Because I didn't know anything about her going anyways. I'm assuming that might have been a recent decision.
Yeah. Well, good for her. I mean, she deserves the happiness. And if walking away from wrestling gonna get her mind, you know, in gear, that's good. She's an awesome person. I wish I got to have her manage me once, but hey, it's all good.
Yeah.
But JPH defeated Jay City. BLW defeated Lennox Leon for the still Indiana State champion BLW. Max Holiday defeated Nick Diamond via a countout. Of course, this is the undeniable. Nick Cutler and Greg Glover defeated Dave Allen and Isaiah Moore after the match. As they're celebrating, Cutler turns on his tag partner, Greg Glover. Did not see that coming, but I should expect it because Cutler is a bastard.
Yep.
He's a hairy idiot. But he's still my favorite tag team partner, so I can't really shit on him. He got me my first win. He got me my first win ever, so. And then in the main event, Terry Allen defeated Ivan Manson. I skimmed through the match, but it looked like there was a lot of back and forth, you know, choking, brutal match. In the meantime, before the match ended, JPH came out, attacked Ivan. But Terry and, Ivan ended up double teaming him. Went back to the old days with the double flip over the rope onto JPH, and then Braun the Lumberjack carried his ass out. At some point during the match, Cheeks was trying to stop both Ivan and Terry from really hurting each other, which then the last time that happened, it allowed JPH to get in there and whatnot. So Terry Allen wins Ivan's last singles match ever.
Oh, Terry won?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I mean, you know, it's still a great fucking career for Ivan, and I look forward to having our kind of recap and follow-up episode to his career here in December. So I think he still plans on kind of doing, like, a final, like, speech to, like, the wrestling fans, I guess you call it. At ARW's, I think, Black Wednesday show.
Yeah, Black and Blue.
Yeah. So, I'm really excited for it because we're obviously going to talk about his final, like, month in the business, getting ready for his final match. And we pulled up some stories. I pulled some stories. He mentioned some stuff he wanted to talk about. So we're going to talk about some stories of him on the road. The infamous Flaming Guitar match. and a couple other specialty matches he had throughout Vanguard and ARW and stuff like that, SCW, CSW, stuff like that. So I'm excited to do that. That's going to come in December. I just got to kind of narrow it down with him again. And I might actually try to do that in person so I can have a beer with the guy.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
But I believe that's all I got for ARW. Their next show is November, Black and Blue, Wednesday, the night before Thanksgiving. So I'm done with the tip.
Oh, is it time for Southland Championship Wrestling?
I believe so.
You're perfect. All right, guys. So, SCW Howl Mania was this past Saturday at Steam Howl Brewing. Let me see if I can pull up the match card real quick here because I don't have it. Facebook is horrifying. Wrestling. How's that beverage?
It is tasty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and also real quick, kudos on the promos that are going on more with wrestlers and, you know, giving people more of them, particularly me, for having a conversation with El Dorado on camera. I am pretty awesome. I'm a good person for doing that.
Hey, it seemed like the right thing you did, too.
Right? Exactly. I'm the good guy in all this shit.
You are.
I don't normally change my mind on things, but apparently I had to twice over the same damn thing. Oh, God, it's just so stressful. Oh, geez, I hate fucking Facebook. You know, first off, I love the fact that now every fan page can be utilized as a Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's awesome. Because now I can go back and I can have JFW follow all these wrestling companies that we talk about. But yet, the loading of shit still doesn't work out if you're going on pages. You have to go back to your own fucking page. And for the love of God, I just want to shut the fuck up. Oh, so Chicagoland Championship Wrestling does have a Facebook page. I don't know why I couldn't find it on the other page, but whatever. What the fuck ever. It's too much shit. That's the problem. There we go. Wait, is that it? This could be it. Okay, well, that's four. Whatever, they're here. All right. First match, we saw Marco Anthony take on Xavier Falls. Marco picked up the victory. Good job. Pretty straightforward match, then, to talk about, really. I don't think I know these in order, so I'm just going to talk to them.
I got them in order if we need them.
Okay, well, let me guess. I want to try to remember these. So the next one is VJ Price and VIP, right?
Yes.
Okay. VJ picked up the victory over VIP. Again, the lawyer, not really helping VIP too much.
No, he's actually not. Actually,
cost him a match. So I don't know how much he's paying this lawyer to help him. Clearly, any dollar amount is way too much.
Yep. But VIP wants to blame the other guys for getting involved, but they didn't get involved. But let's not blame the guy that hit him with the briefcase, right?
Exactly. Next one. I want to say it was Nikki Bix versus Renee Van Peebles.
It was not. But
we can talk about that. I've always said, and I've had this conversation numerous times, that the two biggest problems in SCW is the tag team division and the women's division. They have people come and go, but they don't really have mainstays, constants. Amazon is a constant. For the longest time, Moxie Molly or Karmikaze was a constant, no longer there. While she was SCW Women's Champion, Paloma Star was a mainstay for the longest time. She's not there. So the consistent person was Amazon. And now Angel's here, involved more in SCW, along with Evil Gang, Denevil, Aaron Xavier.
current holder of the Call Your Shot bat. Nikki recently made her return to wrestling because, from my understanding, she has a history in the business. I don't know. We don't talk that much. That's fine. Whatever. Not bothered by that. So she made her return. And being at the school, learning about a potential newcomer to the wrestling business, which is pretty exciting as well. And Renee Van Peebles having more of a consistent showing. So the women's division obviously is growing slowly, but is growing, which is awesome. And Nikki has shown, obviously, with her battles against Angel, Renee Van Peebles, which unfortunately did take the loss in this match against Renee. But between Renee, Angel, and Amazon, she shows that she could stand with them. You know, for being a small person, because she's a small person. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. She holds her own, especially against Amazon, who is a fucking powerhouse. So I think she has the potential to be a champion in the near future. Just not quite there yet, but it's cool to see her in the ring. Obviously, I'm a huge fan of rock music too, and she comes out to, I believe it's Kickstart My Heart by Motley Crue. So, I like that she's there. I'm glad that they, brought her in. You tagged with her recently as well. So obviously, you know a little bit about mm-hmm. her and what she's capable of. So if you guys haven't been to an SCW show, make sure you do, because there's a lot of talent that is coming up from training who are mainstays and constants there, but as well as some people returning to the business, one being Nikki Nix and the other being Koa Laxamana, if I pronounced that right, and he took on Kazile from POW, which was also a pretty cool match, and he kind of cosplayed it up a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, which him and Steve cosplayed, which honestly, one of those people should have just cosplayed. The other one probably shouldn't have, but I'm not going to say who. But his match against Kazile was fucking awesome. There was a brief moment where I thought he killed his new manager. Don't know much about her. She was new to ringside at this show. I think she learned in the hard way to kind of watch where you stand in the middle of a match, because you may get tackled by somebody and dropped to the ground.
Mm.
But overall, it was a good match. Koa picked up the win. Obviously, there was a few SCW POW matches. SCW fucking like just ran through them and crushed them. It was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Sean Mulligan go up against Mason Perks for the Genesis Championship, kind of a rematch from WrestleTopia.
Yeah.
We saw Sean Mulligan pick up the victory in that one. We saw Hunter Payne take on Miles Mercer, one member of ARC. Hunter picked up the win, and that's all I want to talk about.
That's all you want to talk about, huh?
That's all I want to talk about. That's all that happened. Nothing
else. That's all that happened. Oh, really?
That is all that fucking happened.
Oh, so we are not going to talk about the High Voltage Championship match?
That was my fault. You know that wasn't my fault. No.
Which featured El Dorado versus Meat Hooks, the High Voltage Champion?
Yeah.
Or was it for the High Voltage Championship, Mr. GM?
It was
Travis
supposed to be, okay. Here's the thing. And for those of you who are there, first off, if you're listening to this show and you have a child who plays for the Manteno Wildcats and your child booed me, send them to bed without fucking dessert after dinner, because they don't deserve it, because they don't know what they were even booing. Nutty. But if you guys listened to the show last week, My decision was to have El Dorado take on Meat Hooks non-title, because I felt that he deserved to earn the title shot instead of just being handed to him. And I said that to him. I reminded that to him when he came to my office pleading his case for the title shot. And out of the goodness of my heart, by listening to him,
I decided, fine, you're right, absolutely right. You got cheated at the last match. Nubby fell out of the ring. That wasn't your fault. I will give you a championship match.
Fell out of the ring?
Oh, yeah, you fell. You fell so hard, you lost a shoe. We know the POW referee pulled you out. Which, by the way, was the same POW referee that was reffing half of these matches at Steam Hollow. Which I don't understand how the senior referee, who I am looking at right now, sits there and says, you know what? Let's have the POW guy ref the fucking FCW Heavyweight Championship match.
I did. Want to know why I did?
I do.
Because there was no POW guy in there. That's true. So it didn't matter.
Very true. So I give El Dorado his title match. Everybody's fucking happy. Everyone's fucking excited. I'm sitting there. I'm doing commentary with fucking Steve. I'm throwing back a few fucking raspberry jammed fucking beers at Steam Hall Brewing. Having a wonderful fucking night. Yeah. Get ready to watch El Dorado bring the title home. Until I get blindsided by fucking Me Hooks and Heffert, who like to come out and make a decision that they like to learn to read. Thumb through the fucking contract that states that since High Voltage is a quarterly fucking pay-per-view or a quarterly fucking show, that title only has to be defended every 3 months. Now, here's the thing. You're given a contract. I hand you a contract, but I do not write the contract. I just give them. There's legal that makes the decisions, and there's a guy above me. I'm not going to mention his name, but let's just say it rhymes with Ari Talon, who gets to decide how things are ran at SCW as a whole, which High Voltage falls underneath that. So, when the Knee Hooks came out and said he doesn't want to defend his title, here's the thing. If he was any type of person, if he had any respect for the business, for SCW at all, which I know he doesn't because he's a POW guy, if he had any respect for championships, he would have chosen to put that title on the line. But he didn't. He decided to invoke the clause that states he didn't have to defend the title, which is fine. I took the heat for that. That was on me. I had no problem being the guy behind the curtain, left alone, not getting involved, not talking. That was the first time ever in my life that I had to be on a microphone at an SCW show. Because I had no reason to ever get near that ring, in that ring, by that ring, talking near that fucking ring. I had no business. I'm fine doing commentary. But no, I had to address it. And I had to tell Dorado, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to, go against what I said a second time. And you don't get a championship match. And then they got booed by all his stupid children. All of them booing me in my way, not letting me get through. Like a bunch of Oompa Loompas who didn't get, unionized at the fucking chocolate factory. And I get it. They were upset. And I understand that Top Shelf was upset. The Professor was upset. DJ Price was upset. El Dorado was upset. His wife was upset. His child was upset. All those Wildcats were upset. The fans were upset. I'm sure SCW in the back was upset. Steve clearly was upset. You were obviously upset.
Oh, you bet your ass I was upset. Come on.
But
I got abused last show. And then this shit.
I mean, I was abused last show. I had my title taken from me because, God forbid, someone's like, hey, let's turn a regular match into a 5-count match. And then somebody else is like, hey, let's have 2 referees out there. Listen, I will admit blame when needed. I will take the fall for what I do wrong. But I did nothing wrong at WrestleTopia when it was lost. I did nothing wrong at Hollowmania when it became a non-title. I can do everything within my power to do what I can for the benefit of the company, and I have to follow the rules. I'm not a sentinel. I'm not a keist. I'm not an airy talent. I'm the guy who's going to follow the rules. And listen, if they don't appreciate it, that's fine. I will take on that burden if need be. But to boo me is pretty damn insulting. But, you know, it is what it is. El Dorado did pick up the victory. If everything went the way it planned, he'd be champion right now. I just feel bad that the match ended with a different referee because you're laying out on the ground taking a nap.
Was I taking a nap?
I don't know. That was twice now that you left the ring during a El Dorado Mijos match. I don't know what it is about you, Nubby. I'm sitting here offering you opportunities at high voltage, and you can't even finish one of my fucking matches for me.
All right. Since we're going to go here, El Dorado picked up the victory. Either way, he should be champion. That's life. I mean, you could always told Meat Hooks to defend his title, or he can be stripped of it, but hey, you don't want to be that guy. God forbid.
There's a legal clause, Nubby, that I have to follow.
Legal things have matter in a war. We're in a war, and rules and legal matters, you know, still have to be followed. I mean, look, I followed all the rules. I did. I did not cheat once this whole war. But it's okay for POW, right? It's okay for POW to do all the cheating they want. Abuse me. Take me out of the ring. Throw my shoe around. Push me on the ground. And then Meat Hooks this past Saturday didn't like my counts. I was fair. I was for both. I let them both do what they got to do. Fists were thrown. I let them do it, even though I told them to stop. Mm-hmm. But, hey, what did Meat Hooks do? Oh, belly to belly. The one time I don't wear my shell, it hurt.
That was aggressive as fuck, too.
I was up in the air. I was like, where the fuck am I going?
Like, I'm surprised your shoes didn't fly off for a second time because that dude just fucking whipped it. That was insane. But I'm glad you're okay. You seem fine now.
I'm physically I'm fine, but yeah. I'm a little pissed.
I'm pissed too, Nubsters. I wanted the title match after hearing El Dorado, after he came to me like a man and defended the reasoning that he deserved a title shot. I gave it to him. I was all for it. But there's a legality to the process that I have to follow. I can't sit there and make somebody defend their championship if within the law of fucking contract states he doesn't have to do it. But that's not me. That's fucking boards and lawyers and everyone else who makes those decisions. It's the same thing. I could have told Mihoz, you're defending the championship or you're not wrestling tonight. He gets it fine and fucking left. Which I know he was all right with doing. I did everything right. Just because of right doesn't mean it makes everyone happy. No, it doesn't. But the right thing had to be done. Now, I'm not saying that maybe in the future, El Dorado doesn't deserve a championship match. Absolutely, because I listened to him when he came to me like a man. He got cheated out of it. And yes, I will give him his opportunity. At the same time, Amazon still deserves an opportunity because she had the opportunity for WrestleTopia, but made a judgment decision. Couldn't put her in two matches. You know, I mean, you know it, man. You've done this side of the business before. You know that none of this shit is easy, and none of this shit, you're never gonna make the favorite choice every single time.
No.
And I will continue to make the right choice regardless of what people approve of or disapprove of. And I got no problem doing that because at the end of the day, I will be a dick if you fucking question me. I will do that. I don't want to do that, but I will. Bubby, I offered you opportunities to wrestle high voltage. Don't make me take that away from you.
Well,
I'll do it.
Here's the thing. After this past Saturday,
mm-hmm.
I had a bit of epiphany. because I'm fucking done with the bullshit. And since I can't be at the front lines, I can't get my way, I'm going to demand my way. So this is what I'm going to put on the table right now. That's right. Some might say I'm going into business for myself. Call it what you will.
You got a CM Punk it? You got a fucking CM Punk it right now?
No, because I'm not a bitch like that.
No, no. Don't be a Phil Brooks.
So this is what I'm going to do. So the belt can't be defended except every 3 months. Am I correct?
That's true. That...
And who knows? Maybe I could change that down the line. I don't
know. So we'll go with that. Yes. So he won in September, correct?
He did.
So when technically when's the next title match? In the next time?
November. So I guess by December show he would have to defend it.
So then I'm putting this out there to SCW, to High Voltage, to Mr. Terry Allen, Mr. Travis T, my co-host, GM of High Voltage. In November or December, whenever this is officially mathed up, as I said, math, like it's a word, math, duh. I am fucking done playing games here. Give me fucking meat hooks for that title. And I'll fucking bring it home.
Oh, turtle.
Did I lose that the first time I met him? Yeah. I was in a different state of mind then. I wasn't healthy. I'm healthy now. I've been getting better and better every day. I get it. Natasha Crane deserves it since she got screwed out of it. Mm-hmm. She's the women's champion. She's on top of the, she's on top right now. El Dorado deserves it. Cause after all, he got screwed at WrestleTopia. And then he got screwed but got the win. So technically he gets a title shot. But he's got bigger and better things to worry about with BJ Price. I got nothing going on. I'm just a ref. But I am tired of sitting back. I'm tired of sitting at my ass, putting on the referee shirt at this point. I didn't get the revenge I wanted. Give me the revenge I need now. I'm not saying make a decision now. Higher ups, talk about it. Think about it. Go take a shit and come up with the idea. I did. That's what I do my best thinking on the can.
That's right.
Have your meetings.
The best shit comes to you on the toilet. Exactly. I'll talk to him, man. Like I said, I mean it's a weird situation that I'm in because yes, I'm the GM of High Voltage, and I can book some matches, but for some reason I can't seem to get. There's like a line that I can walk up to that I can't go over. There's a point where they say, hey, this is where your authority ends, which I don't understand it. I don't get it. I'm trying to do the best with this position that I have because it is quite an honor to be involved in the wrestling business in any aspect, let alone being the general manager of an entire fucking show. But I honestly, I have bigger plans for High Voltage than what's currently happening. I don't want it to be an every 3 month show. I would love for it to be a monthly show. I would love for it to be as relevant to SCW as like NXT is to WWE. You have WWE pay-per-views on Sunday, NXT's on fucking Saturday. So when SCW has a show on Saturday, I want fucking High Voltage to be there the next day on fucking Sunday. I want it to be consistent because I want to get more shows out onto the YouTube channel and I want to get more trainees onto the actual fucking camera in the ring doing what they're being trained to do. I can't promise you a championship match. As I mentioned to El Dorado, as I mentioned last week, championship matches aren't handed out. They're earned. You got to earn them. I could say I could try to make a special exception for you, Nubby. I don't want people to see it as favoritism because we know each other, that we go way back. If I had my choice, I'd put you up against fucking Mihooks tomorrow. Hell, even tonight. I don't get to say the final, I don't get to make that final say. That comes down from Terry Allen, from the rest of the bookers and all that shit on what they decide. I will tell you right now that if their decision comes back, absolutely not. Just so you know, I back you and support you 100%, and I will go in and fight for you. I will do my very best to make it fucking happen. Because I love Nubbies, and a turtle's okay too.
So,
I will go in and I will fight for you. I will fight for you. But listen to me now. If you get this opportunity and you lose, you will hear about it. I will be saying things for at least 3 episodes.
I mean, you still bring up the Podbean thing, so.
Yeah. Well, that'll be fucking forever. This, I will stop after 3 episodes.
What about the single and lonely thing?
That'll end tonight. I'm gonna start putting limits on the shit that I give shit to people for. And if you lose against Mihooks for the High Voltage Championship and that does not come home, 3 episodes you'll hear about it, and then I'll stop. But no, Podbean's fucking forever.
So, with all that said,
yeah,
El Dorado picks up the victory.
He did.
I'm on the outside. I'm hurt. I didn't have my shell on, so I didn't have the protection. It hurt. After the match, Blazing Spade come out,
yep,
and beat the shit out of El Dorado, to be saved by Odinson.
Yep, and Chris Ward.
And a match was made.
Which I'm glad that they did that because, yeah, and this goes back to this whole idea of championships being defended. Fine. High Voltage title every 3 months because we do shows every 3 months. But those titles should be defended every single show.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is ridiculous. So I'm glad that there was an impact too. And yes, Terry was able to make it via pay-per-view. Honestly, I would have been happy to make that decision too. I don't know why I don't get authority at these shows when Terry's not there. Maybe it's because I refuse to put on a suit. I don't fucking know. Maybe because I wear fucking white sneakers that stepdads will mow lawns and grill in. I don't fucking know. But Chris Ward and Odinson, I think, is the perfect tag team to put against them because they both, I think, have a screw that's not totally tight and a short fuse. And obviously being SCW proud against POW, I think, gives them even more of an advantage to win the titles back. Obviously, that didn't fucking happen. POW, they cheat every which way they can. We've seen it numerous times in the High Voltage matches where Mihooks and El Dorado with you. I'll be honest about that. Both times they were shady and backhanded to you. So, we didn't get the victory as we would have hoped. Mistress Misery got involved, Tiny got involved, Hedford got involved, the False came out and got involved. I mean, POW came in, Perks, all of them were out there. SCW locker room came out. You came out. You were fucking out there too. Front of the line right there.
As always.
Right? Standing on that second turnbuckle, eye to eye with Hunter Payne. It was awesome. And, Hunter Payne finally said that it's all coming to an end at WrestleRage.
Yeah.
Team SCW versus Team POW.
And I think they got probably the best team to do it.
Yeah. Which I will say, congratulations to POW on selling out your WrestleRage. It's amazing how many people are going to go to a show to watch you fail to Southland Championship Wrestling. Phenomenal.
I mean, they've never sold out WrestleRage before until this year. And who's on it? SCW. Just saying.
That's true.
Just pointing it out there. If we were taking score, which I kind of was, SCW won 4-1.
Yeah.
So, fuck you, Chris Hedberg. you fucking bitch.
It was definitely a good night for Southland for a number of reasons. Obviously, it's awesome that, you know, they do the Hallomania thing. They did it at Steam Hall Brewing, which is phenomenal. As I am understanding it, next year, they're increasing their shows at Steam Hollow from 4 to 6. So there'll be a Steam Hollow every other month next year, which is, I think, absolutely amazing. Just the fact that, you know, these guys are going out there busting their asses and putting on a great show for you guys, and I can drink beer while I fucking enjoy it. So it's... if you guys have never been to a Steam Hollow SCW show, a rock and wrestling event, I recommend you guys taking a chance to get out there and do it. It's $20 for the show. It starts at, doors open at 6, starts at 7 o'clock, and it runs until like 11, 11:30. The band plays throughout the night. It's just incredible. SCW is a great place. I'm glad to call it home. I'm glad to call it an employer. Next time you bring kids to Steam Hollow show, don't fucking boo me. Shit hurts.
Well, don't make bad decisions.
I made the right choice, you asshole.
I'm just saying. Maybe not the right choice, not always the greatest decision.
Yeah, it's not the popular one. I don't make popular choices. I make right choices. I'm sorry for doing the right thing. Fuck me then, I guess. I don't know what to tell you, Nubs.
Well, you deserve to get booed that night, so.
You're a monster. You deserve a fucking belly to belly.
Probably, but.
Next SCW show is in November. I don't really remember what the date is. I want to say November 10th, but that doesn't sound 100% right.
No. I'll pull it up right quick.
November 12th?
No. Where did it go? That is correct. November 19th.
November 19th. So, we got some time before that comes up. We do these shows to kind of help promote independent wrestling. So if you guys are looking to get your shows promoted, make sure you reach out to us. You can find us on Facebook at Just Freakin' Wrestling or JFW Podcast. If you're listening to the show, you know me, you know Nubby. You can reach out to any one of us and let us know if you want us to promote your show or talk about your show. We're happy to do it for any independent company in the area. I can't promise I can make it to every show you do, but I want to try to do my best to make it to at least one show of every place that we are talking about, so I kind of get a feeling for what it is. So reach out to us at JFW, or you can email me at justfreakingwrestling@yahoo.com. Just give me the information and we'll include it and all this stuff. If you guys notice, a lot of our shows go a lot longer than they're used to, but it's because there's a lot of information being sent out and delivered as far as upcoming shows and results for previous shows. We're going to do better at trying to consolidate it down. I know that people have mentioned to me that the shows are a little bit longer, and I totally understand that. But obviously, with how we're doing things here, it's a different we're just doing it differently. But we'll get narrowed down. We'll try to do the best we can because we do want to give everyone their credit as well. So,
right.
Make sure you do check out. I guess Nubby, you got anything else to add?
I do have one thing, only because it's an SCW-esque. This week on the Power Hour, with Steve, Rion Skills, C-Red, and Cactus Rack, you will have SCW's own Hawaiian Hitman, Koa Laksamana, and a special double feature this week. Backwoods Brown will also be a guest.
Yeah, I actually in between some pretty important parts of my life today. I actually stopped over at Shorewood Fitness where Koa works out, and I actually had a chance to chat with him and everything. And he's excited to come on our show and talk, so we're definitely gonna make that happen too. I want to get more wrestlers on here to talk. Again, that's a whole other thing that we're going to have to try to crunch into this time, but
Eventually down the line, yeah, I know. Maybe we'll get to a point where we're going to do two shows a week. I don't know. Just got so much to fucking talk about.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it goes. Like I said, we're going to cram everything we can. Remember, I'm going to do the interview with Ivan in December. So make sure you keep an eye out for that and everything. I'd like to do more of those too as time goes on. But I think it's going to be more of a next year thing when I start doing more of those, because the next few months for me is going to be busy as I'm transitioning into a new career. And that's going to be kind of a new process I'm going to have to get used to with some things changing. But the show should still launch every single week here. If it doesn't, we will keep you updated and everything, but we're going to try our hardest not to allow that to happen again like we did a couple weeks ago. So stick with us, help us grow, make sure you share our shows when they are released, and you comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell wherever you listen to these shows, leave 5-star reviews and ratings for us. It definitely helps as well. I know on iTunes you can do that. I'm not sure about other places to do ratings review, but if you do listen to this on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever the fuck it's called, leave a 5-star rating, leave a review, because that'll actually bump us up in the categories that we're in. I think right now we're in sports, I think, or entertainment. I can't remember which one. So make sure you do that. Help us out. Follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, just by searching JMW Podcast or Just Speaking Wrestling. And, of course, make sure you like us on Facebook, because that's where our shows are presented when they're released, as well as some shit that Nubby shares, because he is the man. Nubby, that's all I got, man.
Time to ring the bell in this episode.
Perfect. As always, I am Travesty.
I am the Amazing Turtle, Nubby. Cowabunga, everybody.
And thank you for listening to our episode of Just Freaking Wrestling, the JFW Podcast.